My guest on Simply Folk is a guitarist, vocalist, and a songwriter, and I just heard what a great producer he is also. Today he's here as a solo artist, but he's also very busy with bands as well. In fact, he started out playing in Nickel Creek before he was even a teenager. Sean Watkins, welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Oh, we're delighted. You have a lot of fans in Wisconsin, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, many of us know of your work from over the years, but you've been doing, you've been evolving over the years and doing some of your own stuff, and that's what you're doing now. So I thought maybe we'd start with a song right away and see
Great.
What it sounds like.
Yeah, this is a song off my record, which came out recently. The record's called What to Fear, and the song is called Keep Your Promises 2. I wrote it a couple times, and this is the... Darling, listen up before we drink this cup. All I ask is you keep your promises, well, I'll be fine. Just don't cross that line. We can coexist. Just keep your promises. Don't let them leave your lips. I'll take every single kiss. But darling, keep your promises. For you mine, I'll take your secrets, I'll keep them all well hid, I'll take your time, and I'll give you mine. All I ask is that you keep your promises.
Sean Watkins with Keep Your Promises. And we also heard from Dominique Arciero. That's the voice that you're hearing making some lovely harmonies. And we'll hear a little bit of her keyboard work a bit later in the session.
Yes.
This is Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins. And Sean Watkins, you have just an incredible body of work behind you. If you look, this is your fifth CD,
yeah.
Is that right? Wow.
The first three solo records I made, I don't really count those because... I put them out while we were in the midst of crazy Nickel Creek touring, starting in the like early 2000s. And I never really toured them. I just sold them at the table. And they were also very sort of reactionary to what I was doing in Nickel Creek. It was like, especially the second two, they were very more experimental, weird,
kind of
synthy type stuff. It was like total departure from what Nickel Creek was doing. And so as a result, it wasn't really... an accurate representation of who I am as an individual musician. But with these last two records, All I Do Is Lie and What to Fear, I've been trying to like sort of distill what it is that I am, who I am as a musician, try to draw on my strengths rather than do weird things because they're fun.
Or you're rebelling maybe against...
I'm just trying to be myself, you know. And when I got into my 30s, I became much more comfortable with who I was as myself. I think it's a common age for that. And so I think it just kind of started coming out in my music.
I'm struck by the lyrics on this new CD. They're really, for me anyway, deep and very thoughtful, sometimes kind of dark. And I wonder, how do you write? Do you keep a journal? Do you write poetry? Or how do the lyrics come to you?
A lot of times I just sort of keep notes as I'm going through my day. Like I'll see something that's interesting or a thought will come to mind. I'll just kind of write it down. And then later on, and I also write sort of melodies and chords sort of separately, and eventually those two things just find each other. You know, I'll have like a melody and chords, all like even a whole song like put together but without any words, you know, arranged, and I'll just be waiting for the right subject matter. And I think if I wait long enough, the right thing comes along. Yeah.
And that's the magic of great songs, is when that subject matter and the music, whether it's the, you know, certain modulations, and mm-hmm. I heard that in some of your songs, or some of the chord progressions really marry up well, and so it's just a beautiful
Thank you.
Piece of
yeah,
art.
And yeah, I mean, the few on this record just came together all at the same time. You know, I had an idea for a little idea for music and a little idea for what I wanted to say. Well, I knew what I wanted to say, but not... I didn't have words put together yet. And so sometimes when that happens, it's really fun because it's like you're not even writing it. You're just kind of there and it's happening. It's really fun.
It's got to be. Well, that first one was kind of about secrets, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one of the little songwriting tricks that people have is taking a common phrase and turning it around to mean something else. And so I don't know where that idea came from, but just, you know, keeping your promises, you know, being in a relationship where you didn't want someone to promise anything, or you didn't want it to go past the surface level, you know.
Right.
So that's not really a self, not really an autobiographical song, but more just an idea that I sort of mined out.
I mentioned that some of the lyrics are a little bit dark. You've got some about regrets and betrayal, mm-hmm. and why don't we have another song? You have something along those lines?
Yeah. I'll do Last Time for Everything, because it's another one of those sort of turn of phrase ideas. I was thinking about how people always associate endings with being bad, but they can also be really good, too. So That's the sort of the angle I decided to take with this one.
And this is on the new CD,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. I'm not proud of every story from my life I could tell. I took my fair share for granted from others and myself. Sometimes I worry I'm doomed to repeat them, but there's truth in the words a friend once said to me. There's a last time for everything. Yeah, there's a last time for everything. Her heart was still broken when she caught my eye, and the last thing she needed was more wasted time. I knew we'd soon fall apart, but I kept it up my sleeve. She handed me her heart, and I returned it with a fling. But there's a last time for everything. Yeah, there's a last time for everything. Thank you. years ago, there were lights in my rear view, so I pulled over. Me and my girl who just turned 20 tried to act sober. The bottle was hidden in her purse while the cop said, "You're free to leave." So we found a diner down the road and drank coffee till 3. There's a last time for everything. Yeah, there's a last time for everything. There's a last
Last time for everything. That's Sean Watkins from his brand new release. It's called What to Fear. And what a marvelous soundscape there is on this album. And I was looking at some of the instruments, and you have a mellotron, and we heard that in the keyboard there.
Yeah.
And
I actually didn't know which direction to go when I started thinking about making this record. I had 4 songs that I felt were representative of a particular batch. So I recorded them 2 ways. Once with this band called the Bee Eaters, which is a really cool string band from Northern California, cello, violin, and hammer dulcimer.
Yeah, I saw that there was hammer dulcimer on the record. Yeah.
And then I recorded the same 4 songs in a different scenario, which was with a rhythm section of Mike Elizondo and Matt Chamberlain, who are incredible heroes of mine. And then I recorded, I put them together and did both. I did a version with everybody together, and I really liked the mix of it. And so kind of went from there and finished the record in that spirit.
Yeah, the sound of everything is really nice. And for those of us who are audiophiles and really enjoy hearing sounds, there's a lot of texture and a lot to listen for.
It's a good headphone record.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little details in it that you can have fun with headphones.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, the title is What to Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular title track is kind of a political song, maybe a commentary on media?
Yeah, it's less of political, it's less about one side or the other politically and more just about the way that news and information is distributed. And by, how it's just such a cheap way to get news out there, by using fear. And, they've figured out that the quickest way to keep eyeballs on the screens is to use fear, and it bypasses logic. You know, as soon as you make someone afraid, they're not logical. So then they think, oh, sure, I'll watch this dumb commercial about something I don't need, and because I need to know, why my socks could give my feet cancer, and it's ridiculous, and it's also fascinating at the same time. It's fascinating, ridiculous, and sickening.
It's kind of sad how
and it's not a new concept by any means. I've noticed it since I was a kid, but in recent times it seems to be more and more ridiculous, and the song becomes more relevant. Yeah.
Can we hear it?
Of course, yeah. Here we go. You love them so, your fire alarms, so we pull them one by one, then sit back and watch you people run. We've
got a beat on who you are. You think you're safe inside your armored cars. Well, turn the volume up, we're gonna tell you what to fear. You better listen up, yeah, we're telling you what to fear. There's just so much, and there's no one in this dark world you can trust, except for us. Us. All ye lost, just take our hand. We're headed for the promised land. My friend, 'cause we know what you like. Everything in black and white. You're so right, 'cause we've told you what to fear. And you listened up, yeah, we told you what to fear. You're sticking to your guns. There's no one in this dark world you can trust, except for us. Oh, you're always right. Don't you ever forget it. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Yeah, you're always right. But if you ever forget it, there's a new disease, don't go away. How to keep your loved ones safe. The answer's coming right after this break. 'Cause we know what you need. But don't you know nothing is free. Nothing's free. We're gonna sell you what to fear. Yeah, we're selling you what to fear. There's just so much, and there's no one in this dark world you can trust, except for us.
What to Fear, title track from the new solo CD, a recording by Sean Watkins. Wow, great song.
Thank you.
And, you know, before the session, you had to run out and get just the right pick.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the sound of picks and things, and now I get it. It was really beautiful sound.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, within bluegrass, you sort of need a thicker pick, you know, and I know I'm not playing bluegrass here, but it's that style that I grew up playing, which is heavy strings and a heavy pick. And this particular pick is called Blue Chip, and it's amazing. It's an amazing pick. They're not cheap, but they're sort of like the everlasting gobstoppers of stalkers or stoppers, stoppers, everlasting gobstoppers. Yeah, they have an incredible. They don't get scratchy at all. They last forever, and they come pre-beveled, and there's just a really beautiful attack to them when you're hitting the
strings. Well, the pick is nice, but the guitar is really nice, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is an old 40s Gibson LG that I've been playing a lot lately.
So what was your musical life like as a kid? Did you start out in bluegrass, or did you have any classical training? Did you have music in school, or was it all at home?
No, they were taking music out of the schools when I was a kid, and my parents wanted me to have some musical education just as a part of being well-rounded. They didn't really expect my sister and I to become musicians professionally. So they just asked my sister and I to each of us choose an instrument. And I was like, I don't know. Piano's a thing. And so started taking piano lessons at 7 and took lessons until I was about 12 or 13. They were classical, just reading, no improvisation. I would take it at this woman's house, and her son still lived at home. I think he was like in early 20s, and he had this bluegrass band that played every Saturday night, and he invited us to come down, and we went down, and it was a really, really fun time. It was it was called That Pizza Place. It's still there in Carlsbad, California, and there was this great bluegrass band playing, and they every Saturday night played, and the same people came out, and I got very interested in bluegrass from that, and that's where I met Chris. He was taking mandolin lessons from that same guy. So I started taking mandolin lessons after my piano lessons. I would go have a piano lesson after school and then take a mandolin lesson. And I quickly, discovered that bluegrass and acoustic music was where my heart was, and my piano lessons sort of went to the wayside. And just kind of went from there.
And you ended up doing a lot of flat picking, and you must have been working really hard, because I think I read that you were in a lot of championships or things like that. And
yeah, there's a lot of contests. I don't know if they still do this at bluegrass festivals, but there was a lot of little festivals around the Southwest in Southern California and Arizona, Northern California. And as a part of the festivals, they would have these contests during the day. And it would be like, mandolin, fiddle, banjo, guitar, sometimes even a bass contest. And there would be a band contest, too. And there were levels, beginning, intermediate, and advanced. And it was a great way to win some money as a kid. A lot of times you win like 100, 200 bucks, sometimes like 500. There's one that had 500 for first prize. And then we would also, so we would like compete against each other in our little group of friends that we, a lot of them we still know and hang out with. And then we'd also, Nickel Creek early on, before we actually were getting gigs, we would do band contests. And then eventually we started playing like little local fairs and things like that.
Yeah, and the rest is history, isn't it?
After a while, the first 10 years we didn't have a record label. We were just, kids. And we tried to get a record label, or a record deal, but we were told that we sounded like chipmunks, and they said, talk to us when you don't sound like chipmunks, which we did, and they signed us. And that's when we made our first record that anyone has heard about.
Yeah, and that one was just, it blew up. It got so popular. And
it was fortunate because right around that time, the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack became hugely popular. It was kind of brought in a wave of acoustic and bluegrass and old-time music popularity, and people always thought we were on that soundtrack, but we weren't. We were just tossed in with it because Alison Krauss was involved in it, and she produced our record. So it was very fortunate timing.
So that was your main thing, the bluegrass and old time and that world of music, but you since then have been crossing all kinds of genres. I see your fingers in all kinds of pies. So yeah. Was that like that early on, or did that kind of evolve for you?
Kind of. The bluegrass band that we grew up seeing was called Bluegrass Etc. And they were not a traditional bluegrass band. They had the traditional bluegrass instrumentation, but they would do like, Beach Boys songs or Beatles covers, or Johnny Cash, old country songs. So I sort of had this very irreverent attitude towards bluegrass from the get-go, and then later on learned about like the traditionalists that are very strict about what is bluegrass and what you shouldn't do, and there's like this tension, and I just kind of we just figured it was a great place to start, and you can branch out easily from bluegrass into other things. The skill set you learn you know, everyone has to be able to sing harmony, to pick out harmony parts. You have to be able to play good rhythm on your instrument as well as solo. That's just expected or you're not going to get any work. And so that skill set was really, it's really good to jump off into other things, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're all very interested in tons of, you know, I just like music if it's good. I don't care what it is. And so...
You sound like a public radio music listener.
I am.
All right. Why don't we have another song? What would you like to do next?
I'll do a song that ended up... It started as a solo song and ended up being on the latest Nickel Creek record, which is called A Dotted Line. And it's one of those songs that started... I had the melody and chords, everything, for like 2 years. And I couldn't figure out what to write about, what the words should be about. And I tried so many different things. It just was not right. And finally, one day I was driving around. It was May 20th, 2011. I saw one of those big billboards that said May 21st is Judgment Day. And it was the day, next day. And I'd heard about this a little bit, that there was this rapture prediction that was going on. This massive, you know, I looked into it. It was this massive ad campaign all across America. Millions and millions of dollars put into these signs. And this preacher, Harold Camping, was behind it all. And it just reminded me of a lot of the old-timey bluegrass, you know, All Fly Away, Oh Glory type songs.
Some of the gospel
which I
stuff, referenced
yeah. in this. There's a lot of those songs within bluegrass. And this was a bluegrassy-sounding song. And so... it was just a perfect fit. And I went home and I wrote the song very quickly. It just kind of was exactly what I was waiting for. It's like a modern version of that old time story. Time to bend this old world goodbye. Oh, glory, time to fly away. We'll meet our Savior in the sky. Hallelujah, the 21st of May. Sinner, heed these words of mine about the coming judgment day. Yes, the end. Drawing nigh, hallelujah, the 21st of May. They laughed while Noah built his boat, and then cried when came the rain. They mocked me now, but I will float on the 21st of May. Well, I've never been so sure, and I never led no one astray, except in the fall of 94. But hallelujah, the 21st of May. They laughed while Noah built his boat, and then cried when came the rain. And they mocked. On the 21st of May. Yeah, they mocked me now, but I will float on the 21st of May.
It is just wonderful to see you at work. Wow, your fingers just fly over the neck, the fretboard.
Oh,
wow, just awesome. 21st of May is the name of that song, and as you said, that's on the newest Nickel Creek CD. And you've got a few songs with, you know, sort of religious overtones or commentary about God or current Christianity. And you've got a sort of a traditional, what I thought was a traditional gospel tune on your new record, but it's not. It was by a singer-songwriter.
Well, it's by a guy named E.C. Ball who wrote songs in the early 1900s. He was, I believe, like a big tent revival type of preacher guy. He sang with his wife Orna, E.C. and Orna Ball. And they were recorded. There's some recordings, Library of Congress recordings, of them like on their front porch in like West Virginia in the 30s or 40s. And they're really great. And that song, I've just always liked it. It's really, you know, it's got a lot of the dark stuff from the Book of Revelations in it. He references, I mean, it's mostly, I think, Revelations. But it's, you know, sung with such a beautiful melody. And I love that combination. It's very, I have a soft spot for it.
Very full of soul, and the way you've done it is great. Well, we have time for just about one more song, Sean. What would you like to do?
I'll do another. I'm going to do a song that was written by a good friend of mine and songwriting hero, Glenn Phillips. This is a song he wrote with someone else whose name I can't remember right now. But I heard this around the time when I met Glenn in the early 2000s, and it's kind of always been in the back of my head playing somewhere, and so I figured it deserved to be recorded. And it's the last song on my new record, What to Fear. I said it first. Words rang hollow till the emptiness became a thirst. And I would drink those words till they made me strong. And I'll be back up. Salty sea, and let the water pull the sand all over my body to wash me clean like a river stone. I'll be back up on my feet before you know. I'll be back up on my feet. Thank you.
The last song on the new CD, Back on My Feet. The new CD is called What to Fear. Sean Watkins has been my guest on Simply Folk. Sean, thank you so much for coming in.
It's really a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
It's great. You have a huge amount of fans in Wisconsin, and this will be a real treat for us.
I love this state. It's always so fun to be here and play here, and I always look forward to it.
Thank you.